It's so lovely to be here with you once again. It's great to worship together, and it's a real joy to share that with you this morning. I'm not sure how many of you are so regular in the church or know the church calendar as the major Christian church traditions observe. And one of the things most of the Christian tradition observes season or month or so after Christmas is Epiphany. We call it the season of Epiphany. So what does Epiphany mean? Epiphany simply means the revelation or come to know something. You know, sometimes we think about something which happens in instant, just like that. So it's like kind of that light bulb moment. That's what Epiphany is. And for Epiphany, it can happen straight away, or it can happen after some time. So let me just take you through the journey, what happens during the Epiphany season. So in some ways it starts really with shepherds visiting Jesus. Apart from Mary and Joseph, they were first humans who went to see Jesus, and they saw Jesus. This was the first time a human person, apart from Mary and Joseph, saw God in human form, in baby Jesus, in the manger. And they were told that he's the Savior. And so that, when they saw, that was the Epiphany moment for them. And then they went back praising God, singing hallelujahs. The next time we know, there was Epiphany moment when people realized who Jesus was, who this baby was, is when he was presented in the temple when he was 40 days old. And we read in the Bible that Simeon and Anna were the next two people who recognized Jesus. There might be other people, but these are the names we have in the Bible. After that, it took another 2 years. We might think that wise men, magi, came straight away, but actually, if we work out by reading Bible, it tells us that it was about 2 years after Jesus' birth. By this time, Jesus was about 2 years old. Although they had seen a sign long time ago, and they followed that star to come to Jesus. They knew that they were going to meet somebody special, but they didn't know who that was. They followed the star. When they stopped following the star, they went to the wrong place. And then eventually they arrived where they needed to, and they saw this king of the world, as it were. This was the first time, in some ways, a non-Jew person had come to Jesus to see him in flesh. So this opened up invitation and gate for all those who were not Jews. That includes people like me and you, because we are not by birth Jews, and yet we have seen Jesus and we want to follow him. After that, it took us another 28 years, because Jesus was about 30 years old when he was baptized. And I suppose, Tom, last week the readings were for baptism of Jesus. So that's where, in some ways, I think that Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus, who he was, to people became complete. In the sense that John, who baptized Jesus himself, did not know who this person would be. All he said, that somebody who is greater than me is coming. I don't know And that's why I'm baptizing. Because through this baptism, God has said to him that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. And so, as John baptizes Jesus, he sees the Spirit, and he Spirit hears the Spirit saying, "This is the one." And he baptizes Jesus. Jesus comes out of the water, and the Spirit descends. And God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So in some ways, even John saw that revelation. It was an epiphany moment for John at that time. And if you were baptized as a baby, you might not know whether you were actually baptized. In some cases, you have a piece of paper to prove. In some cases, you don't even have a piece of paper to prove that you were baptized. All you have to go by is your parents, godparents, or perhaps the person who baptized you. But otherwise, you don't know. But when we are baptized into God, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and commit ourselves to follow Jesus, that's one thing. If we are old enough to make that decision, we might have made that decision knowingly. But if we were baby, then we wouldn't know that. But when does then the revelation of God, the epiphany for you to know who Jesus is, comes? For me, that came when I was a teenager, about 16 years old. And I realized, that's what it means to be baptized. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And in that moment, I decided that I will follow Jesus. And that changed the whole course of my life. Whatever I had planned went out of the window. 2, 3, 4 things I wanted to do or be, nothing happened. And look what I have become. Something very different. But it was that moment of epiphany which changed me, which changed my life. And here I am today talking to you about that Jesus. You're going to work out my age about 38 years later. So that moment is now, I suppose, in our Bible reading, what John has realized. And now he's telling other people who Jesus is. And he says, "Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But what does really mean? So in some ways, we are to explore what does Lamb of God mean. And if you look in the Bible and read, and particularly even from today's gospel reading, Jesus is probably three things. One, Lamb of God. Secondly, a prophet. And thirdly, Messiah, a savior. John the Baptist is the last prophet in the Old Testament style, or that kind of generation. Albeit there is a 400 years gap between the last prophet before John the Baptist and John the Baptist himself. So he's looking at Jesus and thinking about all the Old Testament imagery. And that's why he is using that Old Testament imagery. Firstly, he's probably expecting Jesus to be a prophet like the Old Testament prophets and give out the message what the Old Testament prophet gave, and even to a certain extent John the Baptist gave. And that is, if you read Amos 7, chapter 7, verse 4. It says, "This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord God was calling for fire to come to punish. The fire dried up the deep water and destroyed the land." So there was a message of a doom and destruction. Isaiah says in chapter 4, verse 4, "The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the blood stains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire." So there is still a message of judgment and of fire. And then Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and launderer's soap." Still, we're talking about sin, about refining, about cleansing, washing away, and purifying. So John is probably expecting Jesus to bring fire, judgment, and punishment on people. So that is perhaps why he wants to make sure that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior whom he has announced to the world. But despite announcing Jesus to the world as Lamb of God, John himself is not quite sure. He is not really sure what Jesus is doing, and actually what Jesus is doing, it matches his view or his understanding who the Messiah or a prophet looks like. In the modern times, nowadays, we think that lamb is a symbol of new life, usually born around spring when the new life is coming back to our earth. It is a sign of joy. Lamb is a symbol of gentleness, purity, and vulnerability in its infancy, so small. But the understanding of the Lamb of Testament at the time of Jesus was a little bit different. At that time, lambs were food. Well, I think they're still food for some people. We have a Farsi congregation at St. James Church. And there are lots of men in there. And we were talking about how they celebrate and what they eat and all that kind of thing. So one of them went, "We are meat eaters. We don't really like vegetables or anything else." The reason I was thinking about it is that in that part of the world, there is not much vegetation or plants or things. What they got is animals. And that's why, so lambs were really food. They were currency to exchange things with. They were livelihood for people. And they were means of connecting people with God. And that's where we are trying to try to understand a little bit more about this lamb. So this lamb, how is it means of connecting people with God? The story in the Bible from Exodus 12, I think you probably all know the story of the Passover. And I don't need to read you the whole passage and go through it. You can go home and read if you would like to. But the bottom line is that Israelites were in slavery. They were under somebody else's rule in Egypt. And God wanted to bring them out. And one way of that was to lead them. And in that time, God asked the people of Israel to slaughter a lamb per family and get the blood and mark their gates with the blood of that lamb. And with that, when the angel of the death comes and punishes the Egyptians, then he will pass over those doors which have the blood. So this lamb was sacrificed to get the blood, put it on doorpost, so the people in that house can be saved. That was the Passover. That is the concept of lamb. So lamb is sacrificed. But they were also to eat that food. They eat with the lamb which was sacrificed. So this lamb becomes food, sustains them. This lamb becomes a sacrifice for them and a savior who saved them from death. So it was the blood of the lamb that was important. And in similar way, when we look at Jesus as the Lamb of God, that's exactly what John means, that Jesus as Lamb of God is the Savior. And in verse 29 he says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so it's through him we are saved. But there was another concept which dwelt between these the 400 years I've already mentioned, between the two Testament periods. That concept was of a Lamb of Judah. We don't really read about it in the Bible because Bible is silent for those 400 years. But of course, the people of God continue to live in some way. And they dwelt their understanding and their theology. And one of the things which they dwelt is of this concept of Lamb of Judah. Judah, as you know, is one of the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name became Israel, hence the Israel nation, and it became a tribe of Israel. And from that tribe came King David and eventually Jesus. So the idea was that this Lamb of Judah is going to fight. Now that's quite an interesting concept, that lamb is fighting against all the other animals and big predators. But that was the concept. And in doing so, this lamb will conquer everything else and hence will free his people. So it might be that that concept was in John and other people's minds, perhaps leading them to think that Jesus was going to wage a war against the Roman occupiers at that time and give them freedom. But we know that that's not what happened. And that's why John the Baptist really wants to make sure that he understands what Jesus is doing. And Jesus actually is that person he was waiting for and everybody else was waiting for. So, as he says, his two disciples leave John and follow Jesus. And now, by this time, it is clear that Jesus doesn't have any followers as yet, no disciples at least, and these are the first two who kind of follow him. One's name is Andrew, the other's name we are not really told in this reading. And they follow. And when Jesus sees them, Jesus looks back and says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" John is still looking for. These disciples are still looking for. And it possibly is that you and I are still looking for something. We're looking for something. But we may not be sure what that is. We want to follow Jesus and want to make sure, but not 100%. So Jesus poses this question, perhaps even to you and me: what are you looking for? And the answer, like I said earlier in the kids' talk, is a weird one. We want to know where you live. You know the phrase when we know somebody and we say, "We know where you live." When you know somebody, you know where they live. That's exactly what they want to know. Where you live, we want to come and we want to be with you. So they go and be with Jesus. Jesus says, "Come and see." So it's a simple invitation, really. If you're not sure, and you're still looking for something, looking for someone, then he says, come and see. It's a very, very simple question and an invitation. So Jesus does not choose the way other people thought or expected him to act and behave. But Jesus chose the way of the Passover lamb. Jesus chose the way of gentleness, of suffering, of self-sacrifice and vulnerability to win forgiveness, purity, new life and joy for his people, for you and for me, for the whole world. Isaiah 49 verses 6b and 7 read, the Lord says about the Messiah, this is what the Lord says, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. The Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. In the same way, God has chosen you and me today to be the light in the world, in the society, and in the community around us. Now, today, who do you understand Jesus to be? How do you know him? And why do you follow him and worship him? Or perhaps if you are new, why do you want to follow him and worship him? What do you expect from him? He says, what are you looking for? What do we actually hear him say to us today? What do we learn from him? How can we be his true disciples and be Christ to others? Be Christ to others by choosing the way of gentleness, suffering, self-sacrifice, and vulnerability to bring new life and joy to the other's life. Where is Jesus leading us? To whom in our family and our community, and in which places do people need Jesus? Jesus asks us the same question today. What are you looking for? And then if you're not sure, then he says, come and see. Will you follow him like Andrew and his friend and commit your lives to him?